Today I'm talking to Paul Sanders. You're the Regional Director of OCAMRA, which is a campaign for Re-Ale for Surrey and Sussex. Thank you for speaking to me on radio, Jackie. 60 new pubs in London have been praised in CAMRA 2024. Is that a big increase?
That's quite a big increase. And what we're talking about here is, churn is a bad word, but every year we resurvey all the pubs in our branches. And across London, we found 60 pubs that have improved enough to make it into the Good Beer Guide. So we have a number, a magic number that every branch ascribes to. And 60 new entries across London.
But there's quite a few in sort of the slightly outer boroughs. There's Wandsworth, there's Clapham, there's Kingston. Won't name them all because it's too long in the interview. What would you constitute by praise when you say for them to go into the 2024 guide?
When you consider the thousands of pubs in the UK, the number that actually are printed in the guide is relatively small. Yeah. So to actually get into the guide means that you are one of the best. And many people view, and that's licensees and the trade view being in the guide as important as a tick box. There is a major pub chain that incentivizes its managers to get their pubs into the guide.
And what are the incentives they use?
Well, I don't know. Obviously, I'm guessing it's probably financial. But yeah, they get a bonus if their pub gets in the Good Beer Guide. Yes. So it's important to the industry as a whole. If you consider that some of the pubs that are listed in the guide, especially in the Surrey, Sussex part region, a lot of them are in the countryside. And without people passing or advertising, people don't know they're there. So new people don't come. So appearing in the guide provides them with free advertising and promotion.
And you're signposting people to a decent pint of real ale.
That's the whole idea. Because that's the rationale behind the publication in its original form. When it started 51 editions ago, it was basically in an era when real ale was dying out in pubs. So it was a signpost for people to know, if they're in a different area, where to go for a pint of real ale.
Time when all you just had this fizzy stuff that was pumped full of carbon dioxide. It wasn't very nice. And of course, with real ale, the turnover for real ale has to be quite quick because it doesn't keep, does it? Once you've got a barrel open, it's got to be drunk, hasn't it?
So, yes. So throughput is, footfall and throughput are, footfall is one of the biggest things for pubs anyway. But having footfall and the turnover of real ale is how it stays fresh, stays at its best quality.
Absolutely. So according to the January London Assembly audit, the number of venues has decreased overall in the past 20 years. But employment has risen, and among local authorities, 9 had a decrease, 12 an increase, and the rest no change. But Sutton itself saw the largest decrease of 10%. Is there any reason you think that could have happened?
So over the last few years, that we have seen a trend towards pubs being closed, partly because they are deemed to be not viable. And occasionally that not viability can be, how should we say, disingenuous. The measures used to determine viability can be variable. So we have seen a number of, and those will be smaller local licensed premises, like you stop your corner pub, the pub at the end of the street. Those are the sort of pubs that have been dying out. And that there's a varying reasons why this can occur. Is sometimes pubs fall foul of the local people, and they're deemed to be noisy or antisocial. And therefore, as pressure is put on them, there are enforcement orders and the pub closes. Sometimes there's not enough, a newer, better, exciting venue opens up down the road or close by. I've also seen an instance where a local authority has chosen to make sure there are only, or appears to be, only licensed premises within the town centre and not in outlying districts, which again takes away amenity from the local people because you have to travel. We've also seen a trend towards bigger pubs. I think you've mentioned that in the brief.
Yeah.
If you consider some of the major pub chains, and I'll mention a couple, it's like Wetherspoons, Lloyd's Number One, they tend to want big open venues where they can get a lot of people in. So that has two effects. You've got a bigger venue, which requires more staff. So you see your staffing and people going up. Whereas the small traditional pub may have had only two or three people. You know, the licensee, maybe one or two staff to help. If they were having food, there'd be a chef. What we've also seen over the last few years is changes in employment law, which have meant that people have a maximum number of hours. 20 years ago, it was not unusual for somebody to be working for 14 hours a day. And that sounds horrific these days when 7 to 10 hours maximum. So this is what we are seeing is a change over the time.
Interesting. So that is why employment's sort of gone up, because the bigger pubs are sucking up more employees. Yeah. I think the lovely corner local pub that belongs to your village is such a community centre. People go and put the world to rights over a pint of real ale, and the larger pubs don't have that atmosphere, do they? So we really need to cherish the smaller pubs, don't we? Yes. So moving on, do you think the inner London pubs are faring better than the outer borough pubs, because people fall out from work in London, they go to the local, I mean, I've been in London around pub opening time and it's heaving, whereas when people have to drive to the pub and you've got the drink driving laws, do you think that's a disincentivization to go to the pub?
Yes and no. If you consider over the last 3 years when many people were working from home, inner city pubs have struggled because nobody's coming to the office and therefore they have no clientele. And although that appears to be changing slightly with the move back towards the office working, but undoubtedly having to travel to pubs has become a major issue. And one of the things we are trying to promote is people using public transport to go to the pub for a number of reasons. One, because if we don't use the public transport, that dies off and then people can't go to the pub. Also for the, shall we say, road safety aspect, common sense, shall we say, because it all ties community together. So going on the bus to the pub with your friends might be a good idea. It's actually quite fun.
That sounds good to me. Let's move on to the Hope in Carshalton. I think I'm right, it's been crowned the Greater London Pub of the Year 2023.
Has indeed.
A community-owned pub. How does that work?
So a few years ago, and I can't remember exactly when, this pub was threatened with closure, and there is, under the Localism Act, the right to buy your pub. A local pub, you have to get together with a group of people, raise the money. So usually the price to buy it at is a market value. It's not, you're not getting it at a knockdown. And then you as a community run the pub. You have a say, therefore have the say. People buy shares in it effectively, so everyone has a vote. And they run the pub. Now there are a few around in the south of London area. So I've got one in Sussex, which is quite successful one in Balcombe, and that's the whole way thing. And from our point of view, so it's crowned pub of the year, and one of the criteria we have in judging pub of the year is its value to the locality and our values as the campaign. So a community owned pub really embodies localism. It's there for the benefit of the local people. And I know I've been there a few times over the years, and it is a lovely pub, and they do some fantastic beers, and they have some wide-ranging events and styles of beer in there as well.
Does it serve food as well? Does it have a chef? Is it a real...
This was true now. It might not be true then, or, you know, so things vary. Pubs change from time to time, they're offering, so I can't always say that this would be true because there are so many pubs around I don't get the opportunity to go to.
So I love the idea of a community-owned pub. So they've set up a company and they've got shares and the community all buy shares and they keep it running. And all decisions are made by presumably a committee.
Yeah.
They employ what beers they take on. It sounds good to me. It's excellent. So it's going to go into the running for the National Pub of the Year. And when do these votes take place? When we will have
So at the moment, the evaluation of National Pub of the Year is being, the final round is being considered. I do know which pubs are in that, but I'm not at liberty to discuss that because the evaluations are going forward. But by the end of January, we will know the result. But it's an ongoing thing. And to actually be crowned the best in, effectively, the southeast of the country, one of the best in the southeast of the country, even in, I say, Greater London, is a fantastic accolade in itself. Quite often all we do is, when we announce the results, these were the runners-up. They're all runners-up. They're all winners in their own right.
So how important is the camera to our pubs? They're very unique to the UK society. How important is your organisation to our pubs?
So consider the fact that cask beer requires particular environment to keep it. So a cask of beer is 8 gallons, the standard one. It's quite a large object, and really the only place you can manage it is in a pub. So if you consider that pub is the only place you can really get real ale, without pubs, we have no real ale. We cease to exist. We stop enjoying what we want. Now, we do recognise that you can have real ale in a bottle or in a can and things like that, but it's not quite the same taste, flavour and social aspect.
Moving on, very interesting news about the first solar-powered brewery that's opened in Surrey. One brewery is going to brew all its beer in this way, using photovoltaic solar panels. It's part of the Hog's Back Brewery.
Yeah.
It's a sign of the future for beer, that it's actually going to be green and sustainable. Is this something that we're going to work from here?
This is something that a lot of breweries are working on, and there are a number of green initiatives going on I'm aware of. It's not just brewing with photoelectric cells on the roof. There is carbon capture. The very process of brewing beer creates CO2. And because that's the what makes the beer when it ferments, it produces CO2, and the bugs fart, shall we say, as I've often heard it described. So capturing the CO2 and then reusing it, because effectively it's clean CO2, they can reuse it in the process. So that's another green initiative that's going on in some breweries at the moment. I think it's the only way forward. There are local authorities I know of in the southeast that are directing money towards putting photoelectric shell things on their roofs or the roofs of buildings in their areas to try and hit green targets. So I think this will be, it's fundamental. I mean, nearly every single brewery has a big roof because they're big size, they have quite large size. It's just the cost of installing these things is not insignificant. And that's where that will be the challenge, is finding the funding to make it more green.
Maybe a bit of lobbying to our MPs, who are known for their enjoying their pint of beer. Maybe that's a route forward.
And they always like a good lobby as well. And anyone can lobby their MP on anything. We, as a campaign, provide lobbying tools, pro forma letters that you can write or email to your MP. You can watch out for our social media where we start asking for these things. But if you just want to raise a question with your MP, there is nothing to stop anyone doing it. And we encourage it. Gets people active.
I think you've probably answered my last question. What would you like to say to Radio Jackie listeners to support Cameron? And I think you've said it. Lobby your MP for solar powers for our breweries. Anything else?
Join us, because we're here to help. Basically, we have resources available for saving your pub, public transport, things like that. We have resources online that are available to the people, but the best way to do it is to join us, to help us, to help you.
So if anybody is worried about their local pub that seemed to be not doing so well, the best way is to contact you, form a plan.
Indeed. Yeah, indeed. I mean, just take, for instance, I don't know if you saw the Crooked House in Birmingham, the pub that was burnt down in August. A similar thing happened in Croydon about a month later. Two pubs within a short distance went up, spontaneously combust. These are things, because the pubs are empty, because nobody cares, because nobody's taking any notice, people will flout the planning laws, and there are planning laws to protect our locals. So look out for the planning applications. If you need help, we have a whole campaigns team that will help you, give you the right information about how to save your local.
Paul, that's absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for talking to me on Radio Jackie. It's been a pleasure to talk about beer. It's a great subject to talk about. And thank you for talking to me, and have a good afternoon.
Thank you for giving me your time. Thank you.